Is that better? Okay. Do I need to do that again? 9 pounds, 14 ounces, 21 inches. Woo! What a boy. Good to be in the house of the Lord today. You know, it's just good to see y'all come this way. And I've come to worship and praise the Almighty God and hope to share with you God's Word for encouragement and strength and uplifting and many other things. We're going to talk about Jesus today. I spent some time earlier in the week and I sat down and I've got a lot of visions. I've got a lot of hopes for the church in this upcoming year or the year we're in right now. Hoping to improve in some places and to increase in knowledge and understanding of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because that's what makes a strong church, you know, when you got that foundation, that rock that you're standing on. And I got thinking, I started just reading miracles. I started reading about the power of God demonstrated all through these holy scriptures, through this holy word. And I going through New Testament, and I came over, you know, and I got thinking, well, I don't know what all we will accomplish. I can't tell you what all, how successful we're going to be in all areas. But when I started reading God's word, I began to think, I can go in and tell you what God's capable of. You know, I can tell you what God's capable of doing at this church and in your life and in the life of your loved one. He's capable of anything. There's nothing that God can't do. You know, I was reading through and I got over to scripture and it said, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." And I thought, praise God, we got it made this year. You know, we're on a roll because God's with us and God's promoting and God's encouraging about things we want. We're all about souls being saved. You know, that's what we want to say. Your loved ones come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior for salvation. That's what it's about. We're about God improving standards and quality of life in the ones that are already saved. There are so many things, you know, that we want to see happen in church. And so I thought, well, let's just talk about Jesus because that's the basis and foundation of all of it. You take Jesus out of the equation, we ain't got nothing. But with Jesus, we've got it all. So let's look at the Word of God this morning. Good to see everybody come this way. I hope you come to worship and praise God. That's what I got in mind. You know, just come worship and praise God. Get uplifted. Get strengthened a little bit. I want to look to the book of St. John this morning, chapter 10, if you'll turn there with me. Jesus did a lot of things in a lot of different ways, and I think about how he come across and how he explained things to people. He must have been dealing with a lot of people kind of like me that maybe not the brightest bulb on the tree, you know, and he'd take time and let them understand what's going on. St. John chapter 10 and verse 1 said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth in not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." And I reading five verses and talking about sheep, he's talking about us, you know. He's talking about his children, the children of God, and he talks about the way to come in is through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and no other way. He talks about, you know, everybody else was a thief and a robber, but he came honest. He came secure and sincere. He came the Son of God that we have an access into heaven. And I got thinking about all the glories of heaven. And I decided that if there wasn't a heaven, I'd still want to be a Christian. Because of the things that God blesses us with on this earth. Now, I know I've got better to come, but I'm going to tell you what, when you get walking with God hand in hand, things get pretty good on this in this life, don't it? There's sickness and troubles and problems, but you know, you can overcome all those things because you know God is walking with you through every bit of it. Whatever you have to go through, God goes with you. And we talk about these sheep, and he talked about knowing the voice. And I thought how important it is that God's voice be heard in this church through the Holy Spirit. You know, when I read scriptures, I like to read for a while. Then I like to just sit and stop and meditate and let God speak through the Holy Spirit and reveal about the verses and about the scriptures that's unfolding. In verse 6, it said, "This parable Jesus spake unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then Jesus said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And he's making this very plain. I am the door of the sheep. You want to get into the kingdom? You want to get into the family of God? It's going to be by Jesus and through Jesus. He is the door at that time and still to this day. It said, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. So we see that God is dealing with our souls about our eternal salvation, access into heaven. That's the first thing he mentioned, but he goes farther than that. And I got really excited about knowing that not just God's concerned about my soul and the welfare of this internal man inside, but he's concerned about all aspects of life. I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. So we need to find people coming through the door, don't we? We need to explain that door. We need to show them the door. Have y'all ever been shown the door? Amen. I've made some home visits when they got tired of hearing of Jesus, they'd show me the door. You know, and you get dismissed. But we want to show them the only door, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The way in, not the way out. But the way in, that's where we want people to be. In verse 10, it said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now, you see the word abundantly, that means more, that means better, that means increase. There's a big lot of definitions for this abundantly. And I thought about how much this Jesus loved me. He don't just want my soul saved, but he wants me to have life abundantly. Have you got life abundantly or something hindering you or holding you back from it? You know, a lot of times worry will do it. I've saw worry just rob people of an abundant life. I've saw many things that we let come in and hinder us, but God's plan for us as His children is not just to have eternal life, but have it more abundantly, have it better, have it more, have it increased. And so here's what we want to focus on, that we have an increased and better abundant life through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that right here on this earth. Some of y'all are thinking, boy, it's tough here. Nah, it ain't that tough. Ask God. See how tough it is to God. See how hard it is to God. You know, He knows about the trials, tribulations, and things we go through in life, but He's telling us, I want you to have it more abundantly. And so I want to work on the abundant life of New Salem Baptist Church, that people go around and say, boy, they've got life abundantly. They're rejoicing. You know, birth to death, point A to point B. We're all going to travel the same course. Why don't we enjoy it while we go? Why don't we get the good out of it? You know, everybody's going from point A, from birth to death. That's according to the Word of God. So why don't we enjoy the trip? I want to talk about enjoying the trip. Coming down the house of God. Getting a little excited. Getting fired up a little bit, you know. There's sometimes I just go out in the garage, squeak me a spot out and have a fit. Glory be to God, you know, catch nobody around, just shout to the top of my lungs. The neighbors sometimes will turn their lights on. But that's okay. I mean, you know, because I know what God has promised, and I know what God can do, then what hinders me from receiving and enjoying all that He's done? Let's go back just a little bit, if you'll turn back with me. St. Mark. St. Mark chapter 1, we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the Son of God that died for our sins, shed His blood that you can be cleansed. We're talking about Jesus that said, I don't want you just to have life. Don't just go through it, but have it more abundantly. And we need to work on abundant life as Christians. You know, we come to a point sometimes we get so depressed and so beat down and so discouraged that we haven't got abundant life. We're just barely hanging on to the life we have got. And so let's put some of those things aside or put some of them away, and you'll do that by prayer. You say, God, help me with this. In St. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed unto a solitary place and there prayed. Verse 35 is encouraging for me. It's talking about Jesus, my Savior. And I love what it said. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day. He got an early start. Amen. Now, I don't know if you ever noticed that or not, but he didn't drag around wait till dinner to see about you and see about me and see about the whole world. But he said he rose up and got an early start way before daylight. He's up. So we're dealing with a Jesus that's concerned enough. He gets up and gets an early start on salvation of the world. He's already out and working when most people are just coming alive, you know. And it said in Simon and they that were with him, a great while before day, he went out and departed under a solitary place and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek thee. I love that. All men seek thee. And somebody said, well, it's not that way anymore. They're not seeking Jesus. Well, let me tell you what. Jesus said in Scripture, he said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, shall draw all men unto me. So they may not be seeking today, but sometime in their life, they're going to seek Jesus. There's going to come some day in their life that motivated by the Holy Spirit, the power of God, that they're going to seek Jesus. So that's the day we need to have the door open, you know. We need to have that sheepfold open up by Jesus Christ and tell them about the power of God. And so when I read all this and it said, all men seek for thee. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he makes a statement right there of what he's about. Preaching God's word. Preaching the word of God. You know, we talk a lot of times about pastors being the under shepherd. And I'll agree. I say amen. And then we talk about the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the instruction he gave us from the pulpit. What was Jesus about? He's about preaching the word. You know, there's been times in my history as a pastor that I'd get so involved in a building committee or so involved in a music program or so involved with this or that, I forgot what God really called me to do. My instructions, my leader Jesus said, let's go preach the word. Guess what? I'm to preach the word. If I have to let something else go, I'm to preach the word. Y'all handle the rest of it. That's the way I feel. Because he is our example. He is the shepherd that we're supposed to be following and modeling. And he preached in their synagogue throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. One little simple verse right here about the leper. I want you to think something about this. Now, leprosy in that day and time and this day and time is known to be incurable except by the power of God. And he can handle anything. So this leper came. Probably nobody or many people gave him much hope. But he came down and first he kneeled down to him in a mode of worship. First thing he did, before he ever asked for anything, he come and worshiped. He kneeled down, begins to pray, begins worshiping Jesus. Now, that gives us a mentality, but it goes a little bit farther. When he looked at him, he said, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. Now, notice this. This leper didn't say, if you can. This leper didn't say, maybe it'll happen. He came positive, believing in God and the power of God. When we go down asking for a deliverance from something in our life, we need to go positive. We need to go down understanding that God is able to do all things. This leper didn't have any doubt in his mind. He came down. He said, he knew he could do it. He said, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And so when we start going to God, let's go on a positive note, believing what we ask for. You know, if we're not going to believe it, I don't know if there's any use to ask for it or not. We got to believe it. Now, when we start believing, understand, this leper had belief, this leper had faith. Now, let's talk about faith just a little bit. You know, Scripture gives us a word. It said, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so I thought, everybody here is getting your faith increased a little bit today because we're preaching the word of God. And you're going to get it through the preached word. You're going to get it through the taught word. You're going to get it through the discussed word among brothers and sisters. And you're going to get it by reading. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So all of y'all ought to be a little bit excited and go out the door and say, well, my faith has increased. Because we know that's the key to it. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. This leper had faith. I'm telling you, he didn't have a doubt. He went up and he was knelt down and he said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He didn't say, if you want to. He didn't say, maybe if you can, or maybe you can't. He had faith. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. You know, there's a lot of times we want to get this so individual. Now, I want you to know that this leper was cleansed. And a lot of people say, well, Jesus did it for him. Jesus did it for the leper. Well, I'll agree. You know, this was a one-on-one situation. Jesus healed this leper one-on-one. He'll do the same for you one-on-one. He's got time for you just the same as he had time for this leper. And then it goes farther than this. If you look back in Matthew chapter 15, reading verse 32, it said he had compassion on the multitude. Now, same words. He had compassion on the leper. And back in Matthew 15:32, it said he had compassion on the multitude. So it's not just individual. It's for everybody. And Jesus has this same concern. And I thought what it was back in Matthew 15, you know, he was dealing with people that were hungry. He was dealing with people that didn't have any food to eat. They'd come out to worship. They'd come out to pray. Multitudes of them came out. And he saw their need, not only spiritual, not only for eternal life, but he saw the need physically for them. You're here this morning, got a physical problem? Got some trouble in life? Jesus takes care of those too. He fed the multitude. He took care of what they needed. You got a need this morning? Call on Jesus. See what he can do for you. Call on Jesus. Some people say, well, it's financial. God owns it all. Somebody said, well, it's spiritual. God takes care of all of it. And I read when he fed that multitude, I began to see how much he was concerned about their souls and also their physical needs. Both ways. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Now, I've thought many times that we carry around problems. And I've done it. I've been guilty of it. I'm trying to quit. You know, that's a bad habit. Understand, it's a bad habit. We carry around guilt. We carry around trouble. And don't lay it down at the feet of Jesus. You know, we get in the habit of that. Oh, you know, I got this trouble. I won't keep that in a while. I kind of like it. And I got thinking about being cleansed and laying these problems and these burdens and these troubles down. And I thought how it not only changed our life, life abundantly. I'm going to guarantee you get a bunch of people in the church house with abundant life, and things are going to be different. And I thought about these bad habits we get into that, well, that's my problem. I'm going to keep it. That's my trouble. I'll just go with it and do the best I can with it. And all the time, just as this leper, if we'll kneel down and call on Jesus, he can take it away. Down in St. Mark chapter 2, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room for them to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. So the model goes again, preaching the word. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Now, I want to stop right here, and I want you to think about this situation. Here's a man that was not physically able to get to Jesus on his own. So here's some people that cared enough about him to carry him down to Jesus. I want you to think about that situation. Could you imagine the four on a cot or a bed or wherever it may have been, maybe on a bed sheet, I don't know, but it said four men, that's one at every corner, four people, got him, carried him down to Jesus. And I thought what it would be if we had that kind of belief and trust in Jesus, that if we'll get him there, he'll handle it. Now, you know, we're trying to increase our invitations for people to come in and join us in church. You know, we're working through a track ministry. We're working through a lot of different areas. We're working with our young people that we're trying to attract people, membership into the church, that they come down and worship and praise with us. Now, if we're going to do that, it's going to take a little effort. Some of them are so weak, so spiritually weak, they're having a hard time getting here. Maybe we're going to have to help them a little bit. I thought about these four men. They believed Jesus would take care of it if they'd get him there. Can you see that situation? Vanina got down there and couldn't even get him in the door. They just took the top off the house. They intended not to be defeated. Now, I want to say something about intentions not to be defeated. You know, if we go in thinking we're going to lose, we got a problem. But I want you to understand that with God's help, we're not losers. There's no losers in this building. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're already listed, labeled, recorded in heaven as a winner. A winner. Ain't no loser in it. All we need to do is just stay in the battle. Just stay in the fight. We're already winners. So when they decided, okay, we're not going to be defeated, it's a little hard. There's a little bit of obstacle to overcome here, but God's gave us the mind to figure out how to get it done. And so they take the top off the house because they know help's in the room. And so we need to focus ourselves in this year that we're in now, that we're going to work diligently to get people down to Jesus. That's where we want to get them. And Jesus can handle it. Verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. The first thing he's concerned about is her soul. This man's crippled. But the first concern Jesus had was get his heart, get his mind, get his soul right in accordance with God. And so our example is set here. First thing, we need to get them saved. And then God can work with them and encourage them in Christian life to come about the flesh. So when we start looking, here's the first thing he said, Sons, thy sin be forgiven thee. That's the first desire Jesus had, that he be forgiven. A lot of times we get it opposite. We try to get people this, this, and this, and we're not looking at forgiveness. Now, Jesus, first of all, wanted their sins forgiven. In verse 6, but there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their heart, why does this man thus speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether it's easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way unto thy house. And so first he saved his soul, then he healed his body. If you're going to come asking God's help, first thing you need is your soul saved and right with God. Jesus' first option was, said, thy sins be forgiven thee. He wanted to take care of the salvation aspect. And then later, when they questioned him, he healed his body. So first, we need to get this right. The most important thing in this life is salvation by the grace of God. It's the only thing that lasts eternal. Everything else will come and go, but it lasts for an eternity. Verse 12, and immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. I like this. They were all amazed. You think about this. It said they were all amazed and glorified God. This amazement brought them to glorify God and give him the praise, honor, and glory for all things. Amazed. Have you ever been amazed at something? It's something you probably didn't expect, and all of a sudden you're just amazed how this works. You're just amazed how that happened. You're just amazed that this was done for me. That's how I want us to be when we leave this church, this meeting place of God, that we walk through these doors every day and every meeting, and we're amazed. We're in amazement that God's met with us We're in amazement that the Spirit of God's traveled the aisles and through the benches and anointed our hearts and our minds and our souls. An amazing church service. You know, we've got to the point that we settle for usual. We settle for less than amazing. We settle for a lot of things. I'm tired of settling. Every time I plan to come to this house of God, I plan to go away amazed. Either by something somebody said, or the Spirit of God revealing something to me, or just by hearing this word. It's amazing. Amen. Let's have a verse for song. We'll close service there. Anybody need to come pray? Come on up. First thing you need to get right in your life is get right with God through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You come and ask forgiveness, and He will forgive you, and He'll save your soul if you'll ask Him to come in. So that'd be the first thing to do. Then you got other problems? Work on that later. Amazing grace.